welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 241 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. No guests this week?
No, just you and me.
It's good fun last week though, hey?
Yeah.
Jody, vegan episode.
And we did it in the shed.
In the shed. Yeah, down the hall here at the offices. It was quite cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's good. It's a good setup there.
It is.
I'm surprised it's not heaving, there's not more people there.
It'll get there, I'm sure, hopefully. You know. Pacific Road Sheds. Good, folks. If you're
Brilliant place to come work.
If you're living on the world and you're in the kind of creative world, or not even, you don't have to be in the creative industry, really. I think they'll be open to all sorts coming down and trying it out.
But there's loads of different kinds of businesses setting up here, aren't there?
Yeah.
It isn't just creators. I mean, there's loads of,
Stuff's happening.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Stuff's happening.
It's good.
We're talking about being an outsider this week. I saw a news article yesterday which kind of thought this might make a good topic. I'll come on to that shortly. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Take a look for all the show notes and links from this and previous episodes. You have written a blog post, haven't you, Sean?
I have already,
That'll be online.
I'm ahead of the game.
Stick your email address in the box and we'll send you weekly alerts for the show, and you'll get a discount code for our book, Live in the Present, which is pretty good, isn't it? If I do say so. Well, you wrote it.
I think it's absolutely extraordinary.
Pretty.
Totally amazing.
And some free meditation files and other bits and bobs too. So, not too bad. How you been though? You okay?
I'm good. Good, yeah. I need to shout out to Jade, who will be listening to this, because I discovered this week that my niece listens to the podcast.
Ah.
Hi, Jade.
Hi, Jade. How are you doing? Very good. So we got one new listener.
Yeah.
Or maybe, unless she's been listening since the start.
I don't know.
Who knows?
I have to investigate.
Could Jade come on the show? Has she got anything she'd like to discuss or any ideas?
I'm sure she would. She's a very intelligent young lady.
Okay.
Full of amazing ideas.
Yeah, give us an idea, suggestion what we can talk about, Jade. Not that we're short on ideas, but we like a bit of feedback, a bit of audience participation, eh?
Good.
Should we crack on? Okay, so interestingly, I sent you this idea of why we could talk about how to survive and thrive as an outsider in society. I didn't tell you why. And so you wrote the blog post, which I've now read and kind of put into my ideas. But my initial, the thing I saw which triggered my interest was an article yesterday. As a football player, Cyril Regis, who passed away. I think he was quite young, actually. Sorry, I haven't got his age. 60s-ish, maybe. But he was quite a high-profile footballer in the late 70s, early 80s, and all through the 80s. But there were two reasons he was high-profile. One, he was really good. Two, he was black. And there weren't too many black players in English football back then, so he was a bit of a trailblazer, him and two other guys as well, who I've got in there, Laurie Cunningham and Brendan Batson. All three of them played at West Bromwich Albion. That's what kind of triggered my interest, really. Cyril Regis in particular was successful, scored a lot of goals, the sharp end of the team, a lot of pressure on him, and he took a lot of stick, serious racist stick from the crowds. Probably not his home team, I'm assuming, but certainly, various away grounds he would have visited.
I guess that must be quite different now. There must be many more different ethnic people playing football now.
Oh, for sure. He stick match of the day on, certainly in the first few flights of English football and Scottish. It's a no-brainer now. There's people from all over the world. Actually, I think there is still an issue with kind of Asian players or like Middle Eastern players. There aren't too many from that background.
I wonder why that is, but it's just that they don't play football as children in the same way, maybe.
Maybe, yeah, it could be similar to that. Yeah. But certainly, I don't go to football that much anymore, but there's racism, there's no banana throwing or any of that nonsense these days. And if there is any inkling of someone's shouted or something, they're turfed out and banned from the stadium for life.
Do something, good.
Yeah. So chaps like Cyril Regis, were trailblazers, man. So how do you think you can survive, like, doing such a high-profile job in such high pressure whilst getting so much stick and pressure on you.
Yeah, you have to be a very strong person, do you? Which takes us, you know, all our mindfulness stuff. It's like being able to be in the moment and let things go, not hold on to it. Because the worst thing is if you hold on to it, then it builds up into a bigger and bigger thing.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, when you sent me the email and I was meditating on the idea about being outsiders, it felt like it followed on very much from what we've been doing over the last couple of weeks for me. In terms of if you identify something as being outside of your group, outside of us, they're them. Yeah, and how do we treat them differently, whether they are a different racial group or religious group, or whether we would identify animals, because what we were talking about last week, as being outside the group of earthlings, of creatures on the planet, you know, and how can we treat them differently kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But everything that we've looked at has been from the idea of looking at us as being the group and them as being outside. But you've turned it around, because it's like, what happens if I'm one of them and I'm not one of us?
Mm.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that. And when I was on my travels, because I've very often travelled on my own, there were many occasions when I would be the only white person in the room.
Yep.
Or the only English person in the room, or the... And it's the only Brit, maybe. But when I was in Wales, I was very often the only English person in the room. And it was quite distinct, because the Welsh are a very distinct group.
Yeah, for sure. I've got Welsh family, so I've been done little jaunts to see distant relatives of my wife. I've been in a... Because, you know, it's like a white middle-class chap with, you know, I'm not... super rich, but you know, compared to a lot of people in the world, so I can walk around the globe with my passport flashing it everywhere with a looking down on everyone if I wanted to. But yeah, you go to a little house in the middle of Wales and you sat in the corner making conversation and everyone else is speaking in Welsh. It's
quite right, and the only time they speak in English is when they speak to you.
So do you think it's healthy to put yourself in a position of being an outsider every now and again?
Yeah, I think it's you understand what it's like. I mean, to walk into a room of people that maybe don't speak your language and are very ethnically different, either from colour or religion or whatever, is a very powerful experience. I mean, my experience overall, I have to say, there were times when I was called honky and ghost and all that kind of stuff. I did get that sometimes. But the in most cases, people were very welcoming and were, you know, come in, talk to us, be a part of us. And sometimes that was about people wanting to practice their English, which was always a good, you get trapped that way. But the other thing was, I had lots of very curly hair and I was very blonde.
Get away.
Yeah, and so not this snowy colour that I have now. People wanted to touch my hair. People would come and literally come up to me in the street and want to touch my hair.
Yeah.
And a couple of times people actually asked if they could cut a bit off. Like a couple of people had locks of my hair.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Because it was so different for them.
Yeah.
Especially in parts of Asia where people have very dark brown, or we'd see it as black hair, but it's very straight.
Yeah.
And suddenly this blonde, curly person comes around.
So how did you react in those days to being the outsider? Because, you know, I've been on, you know, I go on holiday, but I've never been away for a long stretch where I've been the odd one out overseas.
My overall experience it has been essentially positive. You know, there have been very few times when I felt marginalised by it, which has to be very different to lots of people that feel like they're outsiders. I was thinking as we were, as I was looking through this after you sent me the email, about people like the Rohingyas in, I was thinking of it as Burma, but it's Myanmar these days, isn't it? And what it must be like for them to have a whole nation say, actually, you're not part of us. You know, you are strangers to us. We don't want you in our country. Go away.
Yep.
And what kind of effect that has on people overall.
Yeah, burning houses and all that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And killing,
another level, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, last week, when we were talking about how human beings treat different groups of other beings, and we were talking about things like Schindler's List and what happened to the Jews... That kind of thing. And indeed, what happened to the Africans as slaves, how they were treated.
For sure.
You know, and what it was like for them to be one of them. And if you look really at how the Negro races have survived what happened to them in the Americas, I mean, amazing credit to those guys, they've been through hell and come out the other side amazingly.
Yep.
You know, as you know, scientists, artists, doctors, musicians, or you know, amazing.
President.
Yeah, president. Yeah, indeed, president. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Do you think if you are, if there's any outsiders listening to the show, maybe I don't know, just feeling out of place at work or school, who knows what? Like I don't know, teenagers. That's a period of your life where you can be an outsider. Do you think the goal is to mingle and get within the group and not become an outsider, or do you use your the things that are different about you as a positive and run with them?
I think people do different things, don't they? I mean, many people that are comedians start off being comedians because they were kind of bullied at school. They were outsiders at school,
yep.
That kind of thing. So that they found a way of getting the attention of other people positively.
Yeah, keeping their character, yeah. But not yeah having stones lobbed at them.
It's a bit scary if you look at
dinner money stolen.
And yeah, if you look at the levels of suicide in young people, which isn't good. And you look at the ideas of how people are marginalised through social media and stuff like that, and they're made to be outsiders.
Yeah.
And I think that overall, the fundamental thing that anybody has to do is to talk about it, and to talk about it to someone who can listen, whether it's you know like a therapist or whether it is like an older person, it might be a teacher, it might be whatever. But the worst thing you can do is hold it and pretend that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've worked with a lot of cases of people that have been marginalised in the school situation and have then gone home and ended up self-harming, cutting, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and the issue is by the time I got to them, to talk to them, it was many years down the line. Yeah, and a lot of damage had been done, whereas if they'd dared to talk to somebody... And usually it has to be someone who's older. If you're going to talk to someone who's older, who's had some maybe some life experience,
mm-hmm. Yep.
That kind of thing.
Okay.
A very, very difficult situation for people. That have you ever experienced being an outsider?
Not hugely, no. I'm a bit of a social chameleon. I'm quite good at blending into all sorts of situations and... I'm a bit of a weirdo. I like to think I've got my own unique character.
I can confirm that. You are a weirdo.
But no, I mean, at school, like, I mean, I was the smallest in the class generally, and I got picked on a little bit for that, but I managed to avoid any serious bullying and stuff by being able to talk to all the different gangs and groups at school, being able to kind of fit in with all of them. So I don't know, yeah, maybe I was an outsider, but...
But you learned.
I learned how to kind of speak to different people and kind of get in with them. Mm. But then, you know, I wasn't playing football, having bananas thrown at me on the football pitch or anything like that.
Crazy
racist abuse. So.
Yeah. One of the things about mindfulness is that in doing the mindfulness practice, you get to know yourself. And when you know yourself fairly well... maybe that's a never-ending task, getting to know yourself, but it's like once you've got a good idea of who you are, if other people say bad things about you, you have enough space inside you to think, actually, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the important thing, is not taking on other people's stuff, which is why I say going and talking to someone else and getting some kind of clarity on what you're feeling is really important.
Yeah, because quite often if people are having a pop, either you're not feeling like you're fitting in, it's their issues being projected. It's not necessarily something that's... up with you.
Yeah, one of the things that this may sound funny, but it's like, say there's a team in the workplace and most teams have some kind of negative repartee going on, so they have negative rehearsals about, oh, I bloody hate it here and you can't remember when, all that kind of stuff.
It's like here in the morning, half nine in this place here, we're always Bitcoin's struggling, we've all lost a load of money.
Crying. Yeah. So, but if someone comes on one of the mindfulness programs in the hospital, one of the first things that they say to me is that they suddenly realise that everybody in their team is so negative. So if they go into where everyone eats their lunch, they think, I can't sit here and listen to all this anymore. It's driving me mad. And people, in making positive moves, change their own lives, can become outsiders in the group that they're in.
Right.
Because they're different, they change.
Okay.
They don't fit anymore. Mm. You know? So that can be quite difficult.
Yeah, for sure. Mm. I mean, we live in quite... divisive times. Maybe, I don't know, maybe we don't, man. The news is crazy at the moment, but maybe we're all watching the news too much. But the last year or two, global politics-wise, has been... the people... I don't know, there's been almost a kind of a political... what people have realised, certain political parties, that you can give outsiders a little nudge or kind of point and stare at them, and all of a sudden you're President of the United States, or you've managed to convince 17 million people to say ta-ra to our European pals.
Yeah, which may actually turn around again, it appears.
Well, let's not get too excited, but possibly.
Could be.
I don't trust that Nige. He's up to no good.
No. There was a thing in the paper today about a young student in London, I think she is, and she was struggling to survive and ended up taking a house with a lady she's 95, and she took a room in her house to live in, and they've turned out to be best of friends. And it's fascinating thinking about the whole kind of strangest thing. She was on her own in London, feeling out of it, as a like 18, 19-year-old starting uni, and then suddenly she's living with this 95-year-old and their best mates. And how much would those two groups of people, someone in their 90s, someone in their teens, be strangers to each other?
Yeah.
And yet when they crossed that line, they discovered that people are normal people.
Yep.
And it's like that in any... Whenever I've seen groups of people, I've had to do mediation between different groups of people, that when you actually cross the line and you realise that actually we are all the same, you know, we can make the differences from the outside, but when you actually communicate... So one of the things that would be good for anyone listening to this is if you can see anybody around you, maybe at work, maybe socially or even in the family, who is obviously isolated or separated because they're feeling like they're a stranger in the group, you could really do them a favour and do the group a favour by you going and communicating with that person, checking them out.
Yep.
You know, and strangers are only strangers because they are isolated and out there.
Yep. Yeah. And generally, yeah, when you meet people, 99% of the time, wherever they're from, whatever they look like, they're pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's weird because we make assumptions, you know, that all those people are all like that, aren't they? No, they're not.
Yeah, and I remember, I shouldn't watch it anymore, it just gets me angry, but watching an episode of Question Time, and there was a teacher of all people in the audience and talking about Brexit and about how, my watch is buzzing, about how he kind of resented some of the parents on the school gate chatting in their native tongue. Polish or Romanian or something like that, and now I don't want it anymore. And this was a teacher, which I always got my blood boiled. But I don't know. I mean, if a teacher had gone to that person and maybe asked what they were talking about, it'll be the same thing that we all chat about in the school gates in English. You know, oh, my kid was up all night. Oh, so and so is ill. Oh, yada yada yada. Same old stuff.
Yeah.
Mate, so the teacher should have gone over or made the effort. To kind of learn a bit more about what was going on, rather than just kind of pointing and staring.
If you live in multicultural situations, then it has many facets, doesn't it? We have to learn different languages and different ideas and get a feeling for different cultures and philosophies to understand, so that we don't allow those people to be strangers.
You know,
it works both ways. That whole thing with Brexit about us, in theory, all being scared of them, the foreigners, all coming in. You know, we are all foreigners and we've all learned to live together.
Yeah. Mm. Although our side lost the vote, so technically we're the outsiders now, aren't we?
Do you think?
Yeah.
I think it might be changing.
I kind of dread... I know the whole second referendum thing's on the cards. I dread it a little bit. I just think it would tear us apart even more than we already are.
Well, if we have another referendum?
Mm.
Do you think?
So even if it did go and, let's say, our side won by 55%, what we do, there's still going to be 15-odd million people foaming at the mouth in anger. I want a third referendum.
But this bit of human society, it's like people that are into sport. If 9 people run a race, you know, 8 of those people are going to be disappointed. What's the point in doing that? I don't get that at all.
Hmm.
It's like when people go out and they do the football thing, And if there's 50,000 people there, 25 from either side, that means there's going to be 25,000 people that are really not happy. You know what I mean? I don't kind of get it sometimes, why we do all this stuff.
Do we need outsiders, though? Guys like Cyril Regis and... to push humanity forward, to kind of push the boundaries of what's acceptable and the fact
Until we get to the point where we do accept that we are all one,
then
we do all the time. There's always going to be those people that are different. I mean, as we know, I've been working in Qatar, and Qatar is in dispute with all of their brother Arab countries around them, and to the point where people are talking weapons and war, and which is kind of crazy, that they have a common goal in life. They have lots of commonalities. So why be fighting for the difference and making people strangers?
Yeah.
You know. Which, one of the things I was looking at as I was looking through this stuff was how much power has to do with that. I think about when you listen to the way that Trump talks and how he talks in ways that alienate other people. He's actually exercising power.
He's the least racist person in the world, don't you know, he did say.
That's what he said, yeah. If he did that, then my bottom is a ham sandwich.
After calling all of Africa and Haiti and countries like that shitholes, I think, was it?
Shithole countries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating character, man. Trump, bloody hell.
I'm sure it'd be a research project or something. He had a degree in Trumpism.
But has he always been the outsider? Because he's had to fight for a lot of what he's got. His business-wise, he's always fought dirty. Has he always been the outsider, do you think?
At the risk of making a psychological judgment that I would probably have problems backing up 100%, it would appear to me that Donald is probably on the psychopathic spectrum, which would lead me to suspect that he actually wouldn't be that bothered that much, whether... people were on his side or not. You know, other than he would have spiteful revenge, but maybe his outsider-ness is the thing that's made him successful in the way that he is. I don't know how much of his success was his and how much was given to him by his father. I don't know if it was handed down. I don't know.
Yeah, so we could talk for hours about that fella.
Yeah.
Were you an outsider in your own home when you were a kid?
Yeah.
And that's
something that is very real, isn't it? There's nowhere as lonely as a crowd. And I was very much on my own in the family. And I think there are many people that end up in that situation, either in the workplace or in the home. When I'm in occupational health and I've got people that are telling me how they get in the car to go home and they're dreading going home. All the other way around, they're dreading coming to work. And it's because in one situation or the other, they feel like an outsider. They don't feel like they belong or they're appreciated.
So that's a clear signal that something needs to change. So what's... obviously, it depends on the case and the circumstance, but what... You took the decision when you were, 15, 16, to up sticks and get out of there?
Yeah. And for me, that's the way it works. If you don't like it, then get on your way. Because when I was a kid, there was a lot of Bible thrust around. I always remember bits of the Bible, and there was a thing in the New Testament where they were talking about going out and proselytizing all the new ideas. And they, one of the phrases was, if the people of this town don't want to listen to your story, then wash the dust of that town off your feet and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that kind of made sense to me, and that was part of my decision to go when I was a kid.
You know what I mean? So it worked?
Yeah, the waste of time staying there. I was getting up to nowhere with my own relatives, so go somewhere else. You know.
Yeah.
Interesting experience, yeah. From that point of view, yes, I did feel like an outsider as a child.
Yeah, and it won't necessarily be easy to make that move, because, I mean, immigrants... Guys like Cyril Regis, whose family's probably mum and dad will have come across from, I'm not sure actually where the heritage was, but leaving that country to come to the land of opportunity over in the UK, cold and miserable, and wet and windy UK. Well, it will have been full of excitement, but I'm guessing they will have been aware of the hardships that were ahead as well, but they fought through and it paid off, eh?
I think of all those people that have tried to cross the Mediterranean and how many people have died and drowned because they felt outsiders where they were. So they were coming to try and find somewhere where they could be insiders. You know?
Yeah.
So, but as human beings, we have a huge journey to undertake, which is about how do we learn to accept each other and create a situation that is supportive of each other.
Yeah.
You know, big deal. Big, heavy stuff. And if Jodie was sat here, she'd be saying, and what about the animals as well?
Yeah, and the animals, don't forget them, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big part of it. Anything else you want to say or got a resource for us?
Well, my resource is the film Lord of the Flies, which is on YouTube, so you can go and watch it for free.
It's all on there for free. Yeah, classic. I haven't seen that since I was...
And that's about how a group of kids end up on an island and they have to form that group. And you get very much that case of the inside and the outside and who's the outsider.
Yeah.
And it's quite... as one of the reviews on YouTube said, if you watch this film, it will rip your heart out, is what it said.
Okay. Yeah. So, well, mine's a classic and all. It's a book called The Outsider by Albert Camus. Quite a classic. A bit of existentialism. Which I haven't read for ages. Yeah. But about a chap who, doesn't really fit into society's ways and heads off for a stroll and does some crazy things and mulls on life for a bit.
Yeah.
Good book there.
Good.
All done?
Yeah.
We're back next week.
Next week, power.
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 But like electricity or...
Power.
Just power in general.
Power, yeah.
Okay.
Power.
Transfer of energy and all that.
Yeah. Power.
That's it, folks. We're talking about power next week. So I'm sure we're going to talk about Trump again, probably, aren't we?
He might get in there.
We should just do a Trump podcast, shouldn't we?
Trump cast.
You probably could. Every week you've got so much ammunition just to root through and try and get to the bottom of what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
I love thinking about that one. Livingthepresent.co.uk. All the show notes and links and resources on the website. And if you'd like to drop us a line on Twitter or Facebook with some suggestions, what you'd like us to talk about, please do. And in the meantime, have a good week.
And you. Take care.
See you, Sean.
Bye.
Bye.